from the campus of Gonzaga University in Spokane, Washington. You're listening to the G Suite Podcast, where we discuss all things Zag business.
The Jepson Center is not only the home of the business school, but also houses some of the best art on campus. In this episode, Dean Emeritus Bud Barnes takes us on a tour of art in the building.
All right, well, welcome. We're going to welcome Bud Barnes back to the podcast. Dean Emeritus Bud Barnes. And today we're going to have a unique episode. We're going to talk about the art of Jepson. And these will be my words. You can correct me, but you're a bit of an art aficionado or collector. You appreciate art. You always have. And I know you have quite the personal collection, but we're going to talk today about art in Jepson. Some might say it could rival what's going on across the Lake Arthur at Junt. And I just kind of want to walk through the building here and talk about the art and how you got it and what it means and how it's kind of added to a lot of what we do here at Gonzaga. So take me back to the beginning. I know you were originally dean in the late 70s. I'll let you go. I'll let you talk about that. So, yeah.
All right. Well, thank you, first of all, for having me back. I'm surprised after the last interview and podcast that you chose to do that. But it's certainly a good topic. Maybe not my best, but my interest in art goes back, forever. But I really was introduced to finer art by Scott Patnode, who was a professor of art here at Gonzaga. And you're right, back in the 1970s. And I started buying little bits and pieces of art from our students to begin with. And he kept introducing me to different pieces and then to different galleries, because he would collect art for the university. He ran the gallery that later became what's at the Junt. And he would go on a trip and come back and he would tell me, you know, that there's a certain artist you need to buy this. And he would show me some pieces that he bought and then what was available. And that's how I sort of got moved from one level of buying art to another. And he had a great knack for finding artists who were both, whose art was going to become even more appreciated over time. And that just continued right up until today. And you're right, I've continued to buy art whenever I see something that I really like. And I don't buy it as an investment. I buy it because I like it. And the problem is, I don't have any place to show it. So it's going to all be given away at some future time anyway. But with that said, when we built the Jepson in 1986, one of the things that I came to realize very soon on was that we had a lot of walls that needed something to give the building more character. And of course, art was the path. So I went to Scott right away, Scott Patnode, and I told him, and he said, I've got an idea. He said, I've got some pieces of art from some of our senior exhibits. And he said, you ought to buy some of that and put it up in the Jepson. Which I did. When I was raising money to build the Jepson, one of the fun things that came out of that was some people were not willing to give donations for bricks and mortar, but they would. One family in particular said, you know, we don't want to give to building, but give us an idea on what we can give you money for that would be outside of building the building, a program or whatever. Well, immediately I thought of art, and they jumped at the chance as well. So I was receiving funds that enabled me to go buy art. So I bought the art from Scott Patnode when it was not expensive, but then I still had a fairly large reserve that I could dip into, and I did. And I stumbled upon, just from doing some research back in 86 or 7, I stumbled upon a couple back in, I think it was Schenectady, New York, who was closing their gallery. And I don't know if Scott had introduced me to this gallery or not, but anyway, I called them and I said, I understand you're going to close, and you know, I would like to continue to buy some art. And I said, what do you have? What's it for? And so forth, she asked. And I told her, and she said, oh, well, you know, we love education and so forth. And in doing so, she said, I have a few pieces of Chagall, Mark Chagall's work, and I have a few pieces of Picasso prints. And she said, if you have any interest, and of course, my jaw dropped. And she said, I would make you a fair price for both the Chagall, if you're interested, and the Picassos. And so we started talking, and she was explaining to me what she had. And then she sent me pictures, and we just started negotiating. It was haggling back and forth. And I said, you know, I'd like to buy them. And she, well, I don't want to sell one or two. I'd like to sell all of them. And she had like four or five, I can't remember now, Picassos, and about the same number of Chagalls. I ended up buying them all. I gave her a flat price, and she sold them to me and sent them. And the nice thing is they were framed. And framing is not inexpensive, but it was just one of those rare finds, in my opinion, because they're all pencil signed. And that's important in buying art. There's ways to buy art where you can buy it. I'm buying a print now, not a painting. Most paintings, if it's original, somewhere the artist will sign it with the brush. They'll paint their name on it or initials or something. If it's a print, often they'll maybe make 300 prints. And of those, they may only sign 50 or 100 of them with a pencil or with an ink pen. And these were all signed by the artists. Now, prints are not as expensive as paintings, but the color and the beauty, in my opinion, are every bit as nice. So I bought the prints, pencil signed. She sent them, and we put those in the faculty lounge. Again, then I was with another family on the same project on the Jepson, and he gave me the same response. He said he wanted to do something for his brother who had died. And I said, you know, I've got an idea. And I gave it to him, and it was Harold Blaze had done some art. It was an enamel work he was doing. It was original. And so I bought from Harold, I bought probably 8 or 9 pieces from Harold. I can't remember exactly. And we've got those now hanging in the hallway on the second floor of Jepson. And again, I went out to he was a native of Spokane and a well-known artist. It did some beautiful work. But having a local artist in place was good. And I bought, I think, all that he had, if I can't remember. And again, because he had a son-in-law in the master's program at Gonzaga, he was kind of favorably bent towards doing something. And he gave me a very attractive price.
So Harold Blaze?
Harold Blaze did, yes.
So by way of background, Blaze has done a lot of things around town, like downtown.
Yes.
A few sculptures. And
he did.
I want to come back to him, but real quick on the student art. Now, I'm trying to picture in the basement, there's some artwork kind of outside that computer lab. Is that student?
No, that's that piece is Scott's. Scott Patnode. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. I bought that just as a tribute to him.
Okay.
He had done I think it's a pair of chairs.
Yeah.
Scott had done that, and I just thought, you know, and to recognize him for his help over the years, I bought that from him directly. And
he's retired.
He's retired. Yeah. He's still alive, and he's retired.
Yeah.
And the student art hangs on the second floor as well. It's mostly of flowers and plants, but it's quite nice. It's well done. And Scott was very helpful in helping me select the pieces that we ended up putting on the and the second floor of Jepson.
Did the students get the money for that, or did Scott already buy it?
I don't know, because the money was a transfer from my fund here in the business school to the art department. Okay. I would assume that those were donated by the students to the art department. I don't know.
Okay.
When I was working with Harold, I forgot his name. He brought up the fellow who did the Red Wagon down in one of our graduates. Oh, gosh.
I'll look it up.
So he said, you ought to contact him. Maybe he has something that he might want to give. He's a GU grad. And I thought, I reached out to him. He's still doing a lot of nice art.
And Spearing.
Ken Spearing. Ken Spearing did the Red Wagon down in the park, and he's done some other nice pieces. So he came over, and I had a spot. I had two spots, actually. One was in the lounge, the faculty lounge. It was a big wall. But the other one was down in the student lounge, just off the lobby, and it was a big wall. And Ken looked at that, and he said, you know, I've been doing some work on some water, some waterfalls, and he said, I think I can put a nice painting up here for you, a picture up here for you that will really fit this space well. And he did. And he painted it. And so I paid him for that. And then that was pretty much it we redid the building. We doubled the size of the Jepson in 2006. And I, in the meantime, had gotten to know Ben Joyce. Ben's done a lot of artwork, and he's become quite well-known. He's quite famous now. But Ben had done some pieces of art, and he had donated a couple to me for the auctions we used to do and to raise money for the School of Business. So I reached out to Ben, and I said, Ben, I've got a...
How'd you meet Ben?
I met Ben by... when I was the dean at the time, I was doing the auctions, and someone had mentioned, you know, I think we might get a gift from Ben Joyce to auction off pieces of art. And I went to visit him, and he came back and said, yeah, he said, I'll give you a piece. And he said, what do you want? And I said, I'll tell you how I'd met him. But he gave me and he did it for two straight years. A piece of work he did on Florence when he was in Florence, the Duomo. But there was a priest who he became friends with over in Florence who came back to the United States, and he was highly regarded as just one of the students' friends. Father, he's not a Jesuit. His name is, you're taking me back 25, Bruno. Okay. Father Bruno Scapelli or something.
Bruno Sagata.
Thank you.
He's actually, and Bruno is down. He's a diocesan out of Boise.
Yes, he's still there, I think.
He might work at he's been moved around Idaho a couple times.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I think I'd bumped into him, and he told me to maybe go see Ben. Anyway, long story short, I went back to Ben and I said, I want you to do a major piece. And he said, what is it? I said, I want you to bring the Spokane River from the Canada Island where the World's Fair was held, downtown the riverfront park, and bring it and meander the river up through Gonzaga. But I don't want you to do the full buildings of Gonzaga all kind of clustered. I want you to pick out, and I gave him about four to do. One was the, of course, administration building, now College Hall.
I still call it the
administration. Yeah, I do too. It's hard to break old habits.
No, it's 125 years we called it the building. Yeah. We'll keep it that way.
Anyway, we did that. We did the McCarthy, and we did Jepson, and maybe Jesuit Jones, House.
Or maybe Jones in there too.
Jones may be in there as well. Yeah, I would have to look at it again. Anyway, it turned out just beautiful. And what took us, it was so heavy. We had to bring in a crew to drill into the concrete walls off the main lobby and get a crane to hoist that or we forklift and we hoisted it up and anchored it onto the wall. I still am. It must weigh probably 1,500 pounds.
I don't know what kind of truck he used to go. So I've been told that that is the largest single bend joist piece. And Ben, the nicest guy you've ever met.
Oh, yes.
I mean, and all the success he deserves. And I think he hit it big, obviously, over time. And there's a lot of... and he's done the convention center now. Now, there are multiple pieces in the convention center that are big, but I think that's the biggest single piece. And he was here, I might have been in the fall. He comes around and you see him every once in a while. And I said that to him and he goes, you know, I think you're right. He's kind of looking at it. He goes, I think you're probably right. Yeah. And he's done stuff at the law school now.
He did something for the law school. Those are like, I think, two or three pieces together.
Yeah. Kind of different.
Yeah, very nice. Yeah, I've seen it. It's very nice.
Yeah.
I've been with Ben several times. And just to be around him is a delight.
Yeah.
And of course, his brother, Jason, is a business school graduate.
He's a finance guy.
Yeah. And he works with Ben almost exclusively now.
Yeah.
Anyway, with that said, we put the joist up and then there's a couple of others. Jerry Monks, who was a professor here at Gonzaga for many, many years, retired, but I got to know Jerry's son, who was an artist. And before Jerry retired, or just after he retired, he had done some sketches, and I bought one of those from him, or three of them actually, and I had those framed, and they're in one of the study rooms on the second floor. And more recently,
is that must be over in that conference room. It's 51. It's like a lake scene.
Yeah, I can't. It's an outdoor wood and maybe a pond. And it's very, very nicely done. And
so I want to go back to the blaze real quick.
Mm-hmm.
Those are, you say they were ceramic or something?
They're enamel on metal.
And talk a little about what kind of metal they're on.
Well, the thing he did, which was so unique, he took doors off washing machines and the lids off of clothes dryers, and they were just about the perfect size for him to do the work he wanted to do. And they're all different flowers. And he used those as the base for his enamel on metal. So that was the metal that became the base for his work with the enamel.
And they look like washing machine doors.
Yeah, they do. Yeah.
If you
come onto the second floor and you walk by them, you can tell they're off of an appliance, some type of an appliance.
Yeah.
He was very clever that way. He had two or three big shows. Down at the Spokane Art Museum, the Cheney Museum in Brown's
Cheney
Edition.
Cowles, yeah.
The Cheney Cowles Museum.
And I think, is that now the MAC?
It's called the
Northwest Museum of Arts.
It may be, yeah. Because we had one here at Gonzaga for a while, and I don't know what that was called.
They do. I don't know what's over there now. For a time, it's, it was the
it's, there's no art there anymore.
Yeah.
They got all taken to the Museum of Art.
Was that originally the Cheney Cowles Museum?
No, that was originally, I think, the Northwest Museum of Art.
Northwest Museum of Art.
I think what it was.
It had a Native American focus, I think.
It did. And that all was gifted from Gonzaga to the Spokane Art Museum, whatever its name is today.
It's an old
Cheney Cowles, what was Cheney Cowles Museum in Brown's Edition.
It's the old Jesuit that was kind of the historian. He wrote a book on the first seven.
Yeah, he did. Yep.
I've
got mine in my office, but I can't.
He's
the one that collected the money to build that and created that first museum for Gonzaga.
It just
wasn't successful as a museum. It was out of the way, and it had a special, like you said, Indian focus to it.
Yeah.
And didn't attract a lot of...
I remember going there as a kid in grade school.
Really?
And arrowheads.
Yeah.
And it's kind of shaped like a teepee, I think.
Yeah. He had spent a lot of time on the reservations.
Okay.
And he went back with another person.
It's not Schwagman.
No, it wasn't. It was not Conkey or Connolly, but I'm anyway. But anyway, that's just bits and pieces of art that I picked up just recently. I had bought a Leroy Neiman a picture of the New York Stock Exchange that he had done. It's a print that he had from a painting he had done. And I had it framed, and it's now hanging in. I gifted it to Gonzaga, and it's now hanging in the finance lab. Yeah, Gonzaga.
And so talk a little about that, because that's a picture of, you said, the New York Stock Exchange.
Yeah, so the New York Stock Exchange, back, Leroy Neiman died in 2005, I believe. So he did most of his work in the 70s, 80s, and 90s.
Schoenberg is that building.
Father Schoenberg, yeah, yes, Schoenberg. Yeah. We called him Shoney. Anyway, with that piece of art, he did that in 1977, the New York Stock Exchange.
Okay.
And
that's a watercolor.
It's not a watercolor. It's just a print.
Okay.
It's a lithograph print. And the nice thing is, the New York Stock Exchange is now totally digital.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but the picture he did was from a view he took where there were the bidders and the sellers around these booths that were selling and buying securities. And most of the students won't see it for what it was.
Right.
But it's just a nice piece to have in there. And, you know, it adds a little flavor to the room, because the room was used primarily for finance and investment analysis, portfolio management, and finance. So,
yeah, and I believe there are Morningstar terminals in there. There's a ticker.
Yeah, there are Morningstars in there. They were, at least, yeah.
Yeah,
so fascinating. And anyway, that pretty much sums up. You know, I'm still looking, and I've got some stuff of my own. I don't have a budget anymore.
Yeah.
So I don't.
You're a foot soldier in the economics army now.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah. I'm just a professor of econ.
Yeah.
And enjoying every day of it. But I'm still looking at some things that I might want to give at some time here in the future, just to keep filling. I love to fill up blank space,
yeah,
and the public space is more than anything, so that people can enjoy it beyond someone like just me as an individual. And that's what I'll do. I've got a few pieces that I've had my eye on for putting them somewhere in the building.
So, now, what do you think about some of the art in my office here? I have some art here on the walls.
You do. You have some abstractions as well.
Yeah, that's by my son.
Yes,
Henry.
Yes,
He calls the technique. And now this is probably about five. He's probably about five when he did it. Paper knocking. That's what he called it.
Oh, really?
He would knock the chalk on the paper to make a lot of that. So,
well, it's. I'll tell you, there's some creative.
I think there's some pretty cool images there.
Yeah, yeah. And I'll tell you, his use of color.
Yeah.
It's quite good.
Yeah.
I mean, you can see from where he may have started in the first one or two he did, moving forward, he really brought the color. I'm kind of a color freak in many ways. I have some black and whites I've bought that are old, but I've really gotten hooked on color in the work I buy.
You know, I like the kind of keeping the core somewhat simple, and then having the art bounce.
It's good. Yeah. Well, and again, you know, when your children come, it's always nice to have something that they can look to and say, oh my gosh, Dad, I remember that.
Right. Well, I don't even know if he remembers it. He had an easel, but I was going to buy some modern art for the office. I said, why would I do that? I'm not going to hold these. Same thing for the most part. Yeah.
Yeah.
What about these pictures over here? This is a Brazilian photographer.
Yeah, you know, I like your art. You know, people ought to keep the door open more often, even when you're not here, because people can look at this. And I thought some of this might have been Ansel Adams.
No, it's similar. It's all, yeah, he goes to the
nice stuff.
Sebastian Salgado was his name.
Oh boy,
so
nice stuff.
He goes.
Yep. It's it's kind of a art's kind of a. What would I call it? It's a special attraction that just somehow gets under people's skin.
Yeah.
And not everyone, but it's like classical music. You know, once you get onto it, You know, it becomes a part of who you are. And I've found that, you know, it's a good substitute for other things that I could be doing. And that is, and I do, you've seen me sit in my office and in quiet hours, I'll view art and
yeah.
I'll view
it for
one or two hours.
You're always making investments.
Yeah, and I'll shop for it. Yes, I will.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny.
It's funny. You're not the greatest around the computer until it comes to buying art. You know where to click and everything every time. So.
You know what we ought to let your listeners know that any of them who has a piece of art, original in particular, and they think that they would like to donate it, to get in touch with you, and we might find a place for it if it's sufficiently
absolutely.
Original.
Yeah. Press and check on Sega.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah,
that would be great.
Can I on a pivot here a little sec? Because you mentioned some old names of the people you've met in your very long tenure here at Gonzaga. Did you know Art Dussault?
I knew Art very well. Yes.
Yeah. He was a character.
It was, you know, he was a magician. And my children, when they were the ages a little bit younger than your children now, when we would have an event or they would come to visit me, and we used to be in the administration building when I first got there. And he would find four or five quarters, and he could do magic with those. And my kids to this day are still somewhat remembering him and what he could do. And the other one that they remembered was Tony Lehman. Tony was a priest who came to Gonzaga. He had been a Carthusian monk.
He has a great story.
But we would at the day when we owned Mount St. Michael's, we would have faculty picnics up at the Mount, and they had a beautiful swimming pool. Okay. And my children loved the water, and he would ride them around on his back. Put them both on his. I wish I'd had camera at the time to take pictures, but I didn't. But yeah, some of those old guys. And you mentioned Father Schwegman. And
now there's a piece that's dedicated to Schwegman.
I'm glad you mentioned that. I had missed it when we talked earlier. That is a piece that was done by the artist here at Gonzaga, Gilmore, Bob Gilmore. Robert Gilmore did that, and Larry Wright saw it hanging somewhere in an exhibit. And he went to Bob and he said, I'd like to buy that. And in the meantime, between the time he bought it and made the gift, Father Schwegman died. And he gave that to me. And he said, I want you to, if you will, I would like to make this in honor of Father Jerry Schwegman. So we did. And it's hanging up on the second floor of the Jepson, recognizing Father Schwegman. But it's really because of Larry Wright who donated. And Larry was an art collector. Professor Wright collected art.
Who's Larry Wright, if you could share?
Well, Larry had been one of the executive officers, a vice president of Dean Witter Reynolds when it was in San Francisco. And he became a collector of art and rare books. And he retired from Dean Witter and moved back to the homestead down in Tico, Idaho, right south here. And I bumped into him one day when he was here visiting and talking. He had taught at the University of Washington for some time. And so I offered him a job as executive in residence.
Okay.
And he came. And
been our first executive.
I think it was. Yeah. And he did a beautiful job. And students to this day talk about Larry Wright. But
I certainly heard the name.
I worked Larry for a gift. Larry was very well off, and I worked him for so many gifts, and I did not get the only one I got was that Gilmore in honor of Father Schwegman. I don't know where they ended up going, but I visited him on numerous occasions, and he had signed first editions of rare books that would bring you a fortune of money. And then he had a really nice collection of art. He collected mostly British artists, much like the one that's on your wall.
Yeah. That's probably a New England artist.
And New England, when I say British, it could have been New England as well. But he loved the sea, and he loved the old classic sailboats, and he had a fairly good collection of that.
Yeah, that piece, Handlin is the artist's name. Mm-hmm. George H.W. Bush had his work in his office at Kennebunk.
Oh, wow.
So yeah. I got a good deal on that.
That's a good one.
Got scraped up, I think.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Moving, but
yeah. Well, that can all be fixed.
Yeah. Well, you know, I've taken it to a couple people in town and they're like, we don't want to touch it.
Oh, well, I can. Yeah, it has to. Yeah. You probably have to go to Seattle to get someone to do it right. Yeah. Well, good.
Yeah. And Ben Joyce, just to, I know we're hopping around a little bit, but he's done a piece now in Hemingson up outside. Yeah.
Yes. I've not seen it. Yeah. No. I was with him a week or so ago and we were talking about some of his new stuff.
Yeah.
He's doing one for one of the executives of Google, and it's evidently quite impressive. We didn't get into a lot of detail, but he was.
He's got quite the niche.
Ben's created quite a name for himself.
And
his stuff is quite. I was fortunate in buying three pieces from Ben early on, personally buying them.
In your office?
In my office. They're in my office, yeah. And because at the time he out of his kindness to us, you know, you kind of like to repay the favor.
Yeah.
And I was over in his shop one day and we were chatting and maybe about it doing something. And I said to him, I said, you know, what have you got for sale that I could look at? And he showed me. And then I said to him, I said, can you do one of Priest Lake? And he said, oh, sure, I can do Priest. I said, well, I'd like to have one of Priest Lake as well. So I bought one of his, which I have up at my my home at Priest Lake.
Yeah.
I have one of Ben's pieces.
I was invited there once, and then you never invited me back.
I didn't invite you back. No. Well, it was your kids that caused me
to not
reissue the invite. Yeah.
You're getting 10, you got 40. Yeah, so you're welcome for that. Now, let the record be clear that you invited. I didn't ask for that invite.
But let the record also be clear that you originally told me 10, maybe 12. And we couldn't find enough chairs to seat everybody. No, it was a good day.
Dealt with enough Croatians.
Yeah, that was
time to have to deal with that.
It was a good day, though. Yeah, nice people.
They had a great time.
Yeah. So anyway, that was the story of art, and it's not gone and not over, but it's one of those that art's gotten expensive. It's the values. I look at some of the pieces that I bought over the years, and I wouldn't be able to. I couldn't buy them today.
Yeah.
Yeah. I could, but I wouldn't. I put it that way. And I bid on some art in some auctions that I thought my bid was quite attractive and got beat.
Yeah.
The money out there chasing art is really big.
That's a good thing.
No, people need to spend their money on beautiful things, and that's a good one.
Yeah. What's your favorite piece here?
Here?
Yeah. Or anywhere?
Well, I don't know. The one that I have one that Bob Gilmore did. That's of flower petals. It's hanging down on the first floor, and I like it. It's for here. It's maybe my, of course, the Ben Joyce is because I asked for it.
Yeah.
Is maybe my most favorite, but I also like the smaller one that Bob Gilmore did, and I have one of those in my office that I bought. We sold those for $100 a piece. Anyway, I don't know. I've got some really nice pieces that I enjoy. Scott Patnode put me on to a couple, three artists, all who are now dead. One was Corita Kent. She had been a nun and then left the nunnery and the convent and went out on her own as an artist. And she was in the 60s and 70s. And she did the very first love stamp that was a postage for the post office.
Okay.
And I have a plate of those with her signature across them that I bought. Hanging in my living room. And I have probably 25 pieces that she did over the years. And her work again, and I bought her work primarily on Scott's recommendation, but primarily because of the beautiful colors that I found in her work. And she was well connected to a couple of Jesuits back east, and she ended up moving back to Boston. And she was there. Yeah, Corita Kent was her name. And then Thomas Hart Benton, he was out of Oklahoma. And he did a lot of work around the Depression.
Okay.
He was a 1930s, 1940s artist. But he did a couple incredible. I have one of his that I bought, and I was fortunate to have gotten it. It was in an auction, but it was just a horse out in the field racing a locomotive going down the railroad track. And the way he did it, he's got the horse and its mane is blowing back in the wind. And you can see the coal fumes coming out of the engine of the train, black, you know, flowing back over top of the cars of the train. It's just so perfectly well done. And then the other is a guy by the name of Robert Guathme. And he did a lot of people, minorities in particular, back in the 50s, 60s in the South. And many of them were working in the field, the tobacco fields and the cotton fields, and just some really neat, neat stuff. And again, I don't know, I find these people, and I stumbled onto Leroy Neiman because I'd seen a piece of art he did for the Olympics. And I said, wow, that's really cool. And so I got further into it. And the more I looked at his stuff, the more I became interested in buying a few pieces. And I have bought a few.
Investments, we call those.
Yeah.
Investments.
And he's very prolific. He was in his day. He died, as I said, he died 2005, but his art lives on. The other artist that I really like is someone you would enjoy, I think, looking at, if I can remember his name. He's a Dutchman. He's dead. Carol Appel, A-P-P-E-L. And he just did some marvelous colorful work with animals, cats in particular, but many others, hamsters. And I just, again, his colors just caught me, and in a way that I said, I've got to have some of his work. And I've given most of that away, but Carol Appel was a marvelous, marvelous artist. So,
my favorite here is the Opera House in Buenos Aires. It's called Teatro Colón.
You have it here?
And I don't have the picture here, but there's a sculpture in there called The Secret Inside. I think it's better than any Michelangelo
ever. Oh, wow.
It's amazing. You just kind of wait for the people to. It's so real and lifelike.
Do you own it?
No. This is an actual sculpture in the Opera House.
It's in the Opera. So there's not other pieces.
Yeah,
Rodin.
I'm sure there is. Yeah.
Well, Rodin did several of the ones that he did over the years, and they're floating around every now and then. You'll see one for sale, but not very often.
Yeah. I know I'm being a little random here, but did you ever meet Bing Crosby?
You know, I never met Bing, but Bing had sent me a check, but he didn't. He had the Ford Times Motor Company have a check sent to me. No, Bing died. I was here when Bing came, and I saw him, but I didn't meet him. I was in the room with the luncheon, didn't meet him, but he died in 1979, and I was just a young cat at the time.
Yeah.
And I was too meek to approach him and say hello. So
and remind me, your first year on faculty was 74.
Three.
73. And you were dean by
79. I became 79. Dean at the end,
young pup.
Yeah, a job I did not seek and did not want.
Yeah.
So I was not roped, but I was put in a position where Father Coghlan was very convincing, and I was put in a position where he wouldn't let me say no.
So when you first got here, was Dussault the president, or was he?
No, Father Dick Toohey was president when I came, and he stepped down, and Father Coghlan came the next year in 1974. And he was young. He was 52 years old when he came as our president. So. And he was our president for 22 years, maybe.
A long time.
Yeah. And a good president. He and then Father Spitzer, they really turned the school.
Yeah.
They really did.
Exceptional.
Yeah. And I think Father Spitzer was very proud of the fact that I chose to put art in the building the second time as well. Yeah. Coughlin was more than supportive. He knew it needed art, but Spitzer was not really as close to, because he didn't see well. But once I was able to show him what I was doing, he got quite excited. And the fact that we had Ken Spearing, a graduate of GU, doing some art here, and then Harold Blaze, a local guy, he thought that was really...
Yeah, Blaze did, downtown, and a lot of Gonzaga students know about this, there's kind of near the, well, I guess I call it the Opera House, but the Convention Center now, or the... it's the Performing Arts Center. I forget who the sponsor is now, but there's a big sculpture. It's concrete, and if you climb up it and you look down inside, there's a message you can read.
Is that right? Yeah. I did not know that. Yeah. And you've done it.
I haven't done that, but I've been told the message.
Do they let you climb it though?
No, you have to like at night.
I see.
Yeah. And it's tall. I mean, it's like a story high.
Oh my.
I mean, it says transcend the BS.
Oh, yeah.
But it says the full words. And then there's other art around town. Like if you go kind of around the corner, closer to the river on that Centennial Trail there, there's a sculpture, kind of a scene of the Sisters of Providence.
Okay.
And there's a guy.
Oh, with a wheelbarrow.
With a wheelbarrow. If you get down and look underneath his shoe, it says transcend the BS underneath the shoe.
Okay. Well, and that was of him. He put him in that sculpture.
Oh, so that's a Blaze as well.
That's a Blaze. If not a Blaze, it may be a Spearing, who was a close friend of Harold Blaze's.
Okay.
But either Spearing did that and put Harold in, or Harold did it and put himself in. And I can't tell you which. Also, if you go to is it the Lincoln Building down on the corner by the post office?
Yep.
There's a plaque. There's a piece of art in the wall.
There. Yeah, that's a classic Blaze.
That's a classic Blaze.
There's one in front of the Chase Building as well.
Okay.
And one in front of the Public Radio Building.
The which building?
There's a Public Radio Building, I think, up on Monroe.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I know where it is. Is there a Blaze there?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was a wonderful human being, and he liked Gonzaga. I used to take him and his wife to the games, GU basketball games, and they just were thrilled to go to those games.
Yeah, find out who that sculpture of the Providence Sisters here. Call and the Challenge is what it's called, Mother Joseph here.
Is it? Yeah.
And that's by... Ken Spearing.
Ken Spearing. Ken Spearing did that. Okay. Yeah. Well, he put Harold in as the guy with the wheelbarrow.
Rick's laying on it. And everything. Yeah. So, does it look like Harold when you walk?
I can't remember. You know, I haven't seen it for so long. You got to. Oh, yeah, that's Harold.
Yeah.
That's Harold Blaze. You bet. He did a nice job. Harold had a place up north. And it was on the Hangman Creek or Little Spokane, or one of those creeks ran through his property. And he had his studio. It was converted from a barn or a shed, big shed, into a studio. Boy, he had more art in there, and a lot of it were projects he had started and hadn't finished, and just just a treasure of his work in there.
It must be a lonely lifestyle.
He and his wife seem to be so happily in love. I don't know. I don't think he was ever bored with what he did. He was certainly up there, and he was out of the way. I mean, you had to really find his home. You had to really drive, back in and around and cross the bridge.
You know, that's kind of a hidden gem, that Little Spokane River.
Yeah.
You can, you're not too far away, but you probably feel like you're way up.
Yeah, I think so. All right.
Well, good. Yeah. Anything else you want to add? Or?
No, I'm pleased that you invited me back. I'm surprised you did, but I hope you
got a lot of downloads last time. Yeah. So they made me. I didn't want to do this.
All right. Well, I'm pleased to help out wherever I can.
All right. Well, I appreciate you, buddy.
Oh, you bet.
Well.
Thank you, Andrew.
This podcast has been a production of the Gonzaga University School of Business Administration and was edited by Colby Verhoeven. Thank you to our host, Professor Andrew Brasich, and thank you for listening.